Our reading from this morning is taken from the Old Testament, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And it's Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6, and can be found in page 783 of the Church Bible. 783, that's Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. Let us hear the word of God. The righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. Amen. And praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we have sang your praise. We have sought your forgiveness in prayer. We have heard your written word. Now, Father, we pray, open this word. Open deaf ears, soften hardened hearts, open blind eyes to all that you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I found it rather interesting that out of all the Sundays I could have come to visit your congregation and share a message from God's word, it had to be this one. I follow something in my ministry called the lectionary. It is not something that all ministers do, but I quite like the discipline of the lectionary. For those not familiar with this word, a lectionary is a book or a listing that contains a collection of scriptures appointed for Christian worship on a given day or occasion. There is usually two suggestions from the Old Testament, a gospel reading, a New Testament letter, or verses from the book of Revelation. At the beginning of the week, when I start my process of discernment about what to preach the following Sunday, this is the first place I go. I pick up the lectionary, I see what the readings are, I read all the readings, and then I pray. I pray, God, what do you want me to tell the good people that I am preaching to on Sunday morning? What is the message that you wish to convey to them? Not what is my message, not what my hobby horse, not what my favourite passage or subject is, but what do you, Father, have to say to these good people? In the reading we have just heard, one that was appointed for today, we are given word pictures of sheep and shepherds. And I had to have a wry smile to myself at the timelessness of God's word. Here I am, a minister. I call myself an under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a good shepherd and the true shepherd, and I am but his under-shepherd. And here am I, invited to preach to you good people here at Partick Trinity, who are in a time where you're in the process of calling a new minister to serve as your spiritual shepherd in this place. So it is a very timely thing for us to pause and reflect on this topic of shepherds and sheep. So that when we leave here today, we can rejoice in the fact that God provides with faithful shepherds who will lead his flock. That God will provide someone for you who will take you forward in the next stage of your journey. So before we go any further, I thought it would be good for us to just look at a couple of things about sheep. Sheep are not exactly the most intelligent of animals, as no doubt you know. They have a tendency to wander off, and if they're not given a sense of direction, which of course makes them easy targets for predators, and they can be eaten. Sheep are also pretty helpless if they get into trouble, and they end up in dangerous situations, and the odds are that survival is not very good. Now, I'm not saying that you're a wandering folk, but it has to be recognised that we are the sheep. And for us to thrive and to grow and to exist, then we have to have a shepherd who will tend us, who will look after us, who will take care of us. And as a result, the profession of shepherding was an important task, not only in the time of Jeremiah, but even today in the farming world, but also in churches. It's a job that requires a lot of work, diligence, and a willingness to face danger for the sake of the flock. Not just anyone could or would be a shepherd of a flock. My own story is that up to 10 years ago, I would never have thought in a million years that I would be standing in front of a congregation preaching God's word, because I didn't see myself as a shepherd. I saw myself as a sheep, a wandering sheep who often got himself in danger. But I stand here this morning proud that God picked me to be a shepherd of a flock. And for a short spell, and let's pray it is a short spell, to be a shepherd of you as a flock also. For you see, if a shepherd who cared only for his or her own well-being runs away at the first sign of trouble and leave the sheep to themselves, then dangerous things will happen. And very soon the flock will be scattered. So that leads us very nicely to Jeremiah. To say that things were pretty bleak would be an understatement. God had placed kings and priests over the people to care for them, and both were not doing a good job. The kings weren't doing a good job. They were very much endorsing idol worship and getting all that they can, while the priests, they had become lax and immoral. They didn't challenge the kings. They didn't stand up to the kings, but they took the easy route. And in doing so, the priests, these supposed shepherds of the flock, had ignored the sheep. They were very much in it for themselves. And it was at this time that God did something about it. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God speaks some very stern words to those called to be shepherds. In verse 1, God declares, "Woe to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture." It's very important to note here that Israel was in Babylonian captivity at this time. And this led to the people's refusal to turn away from their sin. The people had no shepherd to shepherd them, and they fell more and more into sin. And instead of encouraging the people to repent and return to God, the priests allowed the flock to wander in any direction they wanted without challenging them. Instead of risking their own well-being and comfort for the sake of the sheep, they decided just to let them do whatever they wanted, when they wanted, and how they wanted. And they took no responsibility for the flock's actions. They were the ones who failed to heed God's warning sign. They were the ones who wanted to silence the prophets. They are the ones who are responsible for the scattered sheep. who are now left to their own and are being carted off to who knows where. So what fate fell upon these shepherds? As we can read in verse 2, they're being removed from their office as shepherds and they're being held accountable for what's happened. Woe to them. Now that the consequences of the sin are apparent in the flock, there seems to be little hope for God, for his people. But in the midst of all this going on, something is happening. God removes the false shepherds, takes them away from the flock, deals with them in his way, but he doesn't abandon the flock. God stays with the flock during this time. And in verses 3 and 4, we can see that God tells them that there's better days to come. He will place new shepherds over them who will do what they are called to do, who will be faithful in speaking God's word to God's people, who will be faithful in warning the sheep of the danger of sin and will reassure them in times of danger that a Saviour is coming, that a Saviour will be here, that they can turn back to God in repentance and know that there is forgiveness in life if they remain part of his flock. There will be a day where the flock will be brought back together, and this will be because of God and in God's doing. Today, you may feel like a flock without a shepherd. And I want to see here at this point that I do not believe that Stuart left a flock in disarray. I believe Stuart was called to another flock who were struggling. And similarly, I believe that God has someone ready for you. Someone new who will come and lead you as a flock. So today you may feel like a flock without a shepherd. Well, know this. God has an appointed under-shepherd whom he is preparing right now to come and take you on the next stage of your journey. Who will that be? I do not know. When will it be? I cannot tell you. But what I do know this is that God's timing is perfect. The person that he chooses is perfect. But we have to listen to him. We have to listen to God and follow his instruction and go to the ones that he calls us. So I appeal to you today that as you elect your nominating committee later, I appeal to you to give them space and time to go searching. Don't be on their back. Give them room to go and select that person that God has called them. Allow them confidentiality. They are in a very difficult position. They're being asked to do a very difficult job by you, the congregation. And it's a job that is confidentiality is of great importance. So allow them to go and do what they have to do. And I want to ask you this. I want to ask you not to ask them. Now that might be difficult because if you're like me, you might be a bit nosy and you maybe want to know what's going on because you want to keep your finger on the pulse because that's the kind of person you are. That's the kind of person I am. But learn not to ask. Don't ask them where they've been or how many applications they've seen or whom they've interviewed or if they're close. Because they cannot tell you. They cannot tell you. Now, I used to, many years ago, work in retail. I worked for Co-op and then I worked for Tesco's. In some of our shops, we had a sign up that said this. Do not ask for credit, as a refusal often offends. Well, this is the same. If you do not want to be offended, then don't ask. Because you'll be told no. And if you are told no, remember you've been warned today about it. So if you can't ask them, then what can you do? You can pray. You can pray for them individually. You can pray for them collectively. You can pray for wisdom. You can pray for insight, for discernment, for stamina, for resilience. And you can pray that they will listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who will lead your new minister to this charge. And the Holy Spirit will do it through the nominating committee and through other means. But they must be given the freedom to listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting and the discernment of the Holy Spirit. God tells us in Jeremiah that he will raise up new shepherds. And that is a word for you today, that God will raise up a new shepherd for this flock. But we have to give the committee time. So pray for them and allow them the time and space to seek through God's grace your new under-shepherd. As we read in our passage, it looked like the Israelites had no future, but God had even better news for them. Verses 5 and 6. God tells them there's another king coming, a king from the line of David, just as he promised. And unlike the other kings who came before them, this king will have a reign that lasts forever. This king will not abandon his people, but will save them by willingly facing their enemies of sin and death and defeat them forever. This king, of course, as we know, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, the Good Shepherd. And the good news for the people of Israel is that they were at their lowest point, when everything seemed hopeless, when they didn't know which direction to turn or who to turn to. God says, I will send. I will send. And God says that same message to us today. I will send. But until I send my son for the second and final time, then I will send others to minister to the flock, to look after the flock, to speak his word in honest truth, to challenge the flock in all that they do and say and believe and live. Just as these words were true for the people of God in Jeremiah's day, they are true for the people of Party Trinity here this morning. God has brought you together as a flock through the faithful preaching of his word and the administration of the sacraments that take place in this building. Each one of you has been made part of this flock by the life, the death, and resurrection of your good shepherd, Jesus Christ. He has brought you as a congregation this far, and he will not let you down. You're in a time in your congregation's life that's very important. Some of you may have been through a vacancy process before, 20 or so years ago, and you'll know what it's like. Others, this will be new, daunting, yet exciting. So your time as a congregation's life is very important, because right now, you do not have a shepherd in this place. And while I'm certain that you've been very blessed with the Reverend Willie Black and with Philip reading your congregation in midweek and on a Sunday, two great men of God, two great preachers and great blessing, I know in your heart it's not quite the same as having your own minister who's committed and called to stay here for a long time. And because of that, my observation over the years has been that congregations during a vacancy tend to get a little anxious as the vacancy extends month after month after month, as things seem to go very slow. But remember, everything happens perfectly in God's timing, not in ours. And it's hard to look to the future sometimes, because you don't know when your next minister is going to be here. But like the people of Israel, like the people we hear of in Jeremiah, we have to put our trust in God in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We have to trust him that your new minister as an under-shepherd to Jesus Christ will be here. Where he or she will come from, or what direction they might lead you in, none of us knows. But God knows. And that's the most important thing. That God knows, and to trust him and all he knows. So this morning I'm here to remind you of this. Just as God remained faithful to his flock in Jeremiah's day, he remains faithful to his flock gathered here today in Partick Trinity. He remains faithful to you, every single one of you. And until the Good Shepherd returns for the final time, God will raise up an under-shepherd for you as a congregation to lead you in a direction that God is calling that person to lead you. I am positive in that. And why am I positive in that? Because a little over 8 years ago, the church at the bottom of the hill where I'm from, their minister left and went to a new charge. And it took them 2 years to find someone. So I am positive that God has that person. It may take a few months. It may take a couple of years. It may take longer. But know this, God is with you. God will see you through if you trust in him. As Paul writes in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So the question is, do you love God? Well, trust him. And he will work good in your life as a church. And as individuals, let us pray. Almighty God, we pause but for a moment. And we come before you, Lord, as a flock without a shepherd, a flock without a minister to lead. And although there's people like Willie and Philip, and myself and others who come and support, it's not the same. So we pray, Father, as we approach that time of electing a nominating committee, we pray that you will bring forward men and women of good discernment, of strong will and character, who have an understanding of this flock, and will be able to go and seek out the man or woman that you call. And as they go, Lord, we know there'll be people left behind here. So we pray for them, for all who are left here wondering what's going on. We pray, Father, that they will trust you in your goodness and in your mercy and in your love. And that they will come and praise you. We'll praise you, Lord, because they know that every day is a day closer. And we pray also, Lord, for the man or the woman that you are preparing. Someone right now is being prepared to lead this flock. Maybe they know it. Maybe they don't. But we pray, Father, that you will send that person quickly. But most importantly, in your time, that they will come and lead this flock to where you're calling them to be. And until then, may we trust in the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.